what I'm going to talk about briefly tonight is about your health. And I say that rather than healing, because I want you to understand the mindset of Christ and what He's done for you and how God sees your health in your physical body and also in your soulish realm, your mind, will, emotions. Those areas too can be sick. You ever heard of such things as psychosomatic, this, that, and the other, all these big names that I can't pronounce that psychiatrists and sociologists talk about? Those things are sicknesses of the soul. That's what they're described as. But see, whenever Jesus went to the cross, He went through the beatings, He did some things for us along the way, and He attributed what He did to what we would walk in freely today. Now, a lot of you people in this room came out of the faith movement where everything had to be about faith and you had to work up enough faith, and if you didn't see a manifestation, you didn't have enough faith and you were living in sin or something. There was something that was in you or you know, just blocking so that you didn't receive manifestation. And some of you may have been told that you weren't tithing or you weren't giving enough or something. I don't know. I've heard all kinds of stories from all kinds of people as to why they were told that they didn't receive manifestation of their healing. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It kind of sounds like it's just thrown in there at the end, "by whose stripes you were healed." It's talking about sin and Jesus going to the cross, and then the next thing it throws it in, "by whose stripes you were healed." And this verb here in the Greek, it's actually the aorist tense, which means it's a done deal. It's already transpired. It's complete. Now, how can we have been healed 2,000 years ago whenever Jesus took upon Himself stripes? He was beaten. He was bruised. He was hung on a cross. But He wasn't killed. He gave up His life. He gave it up willingly for us. How can the healing that we need in our body or our soulish realm take place today because of what He did 2,000 years ago? This is real important. And I think it's where the church can really benefit from seeing what Jesus did. It's the finished work of Christ. Everything that He has done is finished. In fact, He said, "It is finished." And then He sat down at the right hand of the Father. His work is done. There's nothing left for Him to do about your health. I started off with talking about your health, not your healing, your health. Whenever it says that you were healed, done deal, complete, finished, you were healed 2,000 years ago by Jesus' stripes, what is that really saying about you and your body today? On this side of the cross, as a believer who has Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're inhabited by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of Christ lives in you and you in Him. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you as a believer. Now here's what I believe that the Lord has shown me. People that talk about healing all the time, need to get healing, they don't realize they already have the health that Christ purchased for them whenever He went to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new." He wasn't just talking about the Spirit. I believe sincerely that this is talking about your body, your physical body, and also your soul. mind, will, emotions, personality. All things have become new. He comes in to live in you. He and you, you and Him. You're His temple. You're His dwelling place. Do you think that Jesus wants to live in a body that is dying? No. That's why He said, by His stripes you were healed, meaning you received His health whenever you got born again, because it's done for you. Your health has been given to you by what Jesus accomplished on the way to the cross. So if you're still praying for God to heal you, it's saying that He didn't do it 2,000 years ago. I just want you to hear me out. I'm not fussing at you. I'm not condemning you. I used to do the same thing. But whenever you know that you have already received in your body what Christ has given you, you approach it from a totally different mindset. How about King on the Mountain? Anybody ever played that? Okay, King on the Mountain, you got somebody on top, right? Other people are coming uphill trying to get to it. Now, who holds the position of high ground is the one who is King of the Mountain, right? Because you're coming up from a point of weakness if you're trying to take over the top of the mountain, because it's a whole lot easier to stand up there and do this and that and keep people off of it than it is to come and attack from down below and actually achieve the victory. That's what I want you to understand. You have the victory in Christ Jesus in everything. Every single thing that you deal with in this life and eternity in the spirit realm has already been won for you. It's been purchased with His blood, with His life, with everything that He is, and it's been given to you as a gift. You say, well, that can't be true. It is. Do you know what the Word says about salvation? Soteria is the noun. Sozo is the verb. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. And this is a verse that, to me, it's just full of what Jesus has done for us. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that's talking about the gospel, and what is the good news? The finished work of Christ has done everything for us and given to us everything that's needed. Period. Jesus has done it all for us. And we receive that by the faith that He gave us to receive it with, to believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, at the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everything is a gift, including the faith to receive the salvation with. And He says that the gospel is the power of God into salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It says that the power of God into salvation, into this sozo relationship that we have, where it's a package of everything has been purchased and provided for by what Jesus has done on the way to the cross, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus. It's all taken place except for the return. And some great things are going to happen there. But right now, we're living in what He's already accomplished. So He purchased for us salvation and has given it to us as a free gift. What is part of this sozo? Would health be something that people would normally put in there? By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. How about prosperity? Would that be a thing that would be included in the salvation package? That Jesus became poor, that we might be made rich? Definition of rich. Always having all sufficiency of all things to give unto every good work. Right? That's prosperity. How about deliverance? It says that He came to destroy the works of the devil. And all we're doing is enforcing the devil's defeat. We're not battling the devil. He's defeated already. Jesus has his foot on his neck like this. Go ahead, kick him. Go ahead. He can't do anything to you. He's a wimp, wuss, loser. He's under your feet. He has no authority other than trying to convince you that you don't have any authority over him. You got relationship situations. Is he a master of relationships? Why? Because he doesn't see any man after the flesh. He looks at us through his Father's eyes. He looks at us through the eyes of love. He sees the unlovely as, that's my boy. That's my child. Well, what about what he did wrong? Is he ignoring that? No. Jesus took care of that. It's forgiven because it was already punished. It's been adjudicated. Jesus was found guilty in your behalf, and he was punished in your behalf, and you got everything that he is, and he took everything that you were and buried it in the ground, dead. You arose with him, victorious over death, hell, grave. Now you're a king, you're a priest. He has given you his ring, his authority. He's given you everything to rule and reign in this life because you're his child. And in the Hebrew mindset, the Son has the same authority as the Father. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Because whenever he says, my Father, and I'm the Son of God, it meant equality. He was claiming to be God. And he was right. So, the health that we have whenever we get born again, I want you to get this revelation. Jesus purchased your health. Jesus shed his blood for your health. Jesus was tortured for your health. You are healthy. I don't care what kind of situation you had whenever you got born again. Whenever you gave your life to Christ Jesus and he became your Savior, you received his health that he purchased for you. Now, what about the symptoms? We live in a fallen world. There are things that come against us, not necessarily what we did in receiving, you know, like if we smoke 14 packs a day, you think, well, he got cancer because he was smoking. Or he got this because he was drinking and he got cirrhosis of the liver, blah, 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 blah. You can attribute some things like that, but other people are attacked with symptoms. They just will just live in life. And things came against them. Does that mean they're bad people? No. We live in a fallen world. But here's the difference. Whenever you realize that you were given your health by what Jesus did, you're coming at that whole situation from a standpoint of your king of the mountain. Jesus has given you your health, and that stinking symptom cannot take it away from you. Health is mine. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm not giving it up. I know that I know that I know that God loves me, and he sent Jesus to the cross. One of the reasons is so that I would be healthy in my body, in my mind, and I got a brand new spirit that's just like Jesus. In fact, God looks at me the same way he looks at Jesus. If you look in his wallet, you'll see my picture. There it is. He loves me. He's proud of me. I'm his boy. So whenever you understand what you really have from that viewpoint, you're not trying to get something from God, healing, and hope that you can pray the right prayer, say the right thing, make the right confession, eat the right vegetables, take the right vitamins, do the right exercise, and maybe God will heal you. Hear me. He already has given you his health in Christ Jesus. The symptoms, the lying symptoms that come against you is wanting you to take the package. I've got a package for you here of pain, direct from hell. Would you sign for the package? How do you sign for the package? Oh, I must be getting sick. Oh, I've got a pain. Oh, that must be the C word. I better go check that out. I'm not making light of anybody that has cancer. I want you to know that these things are bad. They're from hell. They're bad, right? Nothing good comes from there, right? Hadn't been there, don't want to be around it. Don't have anything to do with it. Anything from the devil is bad. Everything from God is good. Simple theology, but it works for me. Health is much better than sickness. Jesus has purchased your health for you. You're in the driver's seat. Whenever sickness symptoms come against you, whenever you get a bad report from the doctor, you're looking at those things and said, these things ought not to be so. Because Jesus purchased my health, and I ain't giving it up. He says, whenever the mountain is coming against you, he said, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You speak to that mountain because of what you believe in your heart. And my question is to you right now, do you really believe that Jesus Christ purchased your health for you and gave it to you so that you could go through this life on this earth healthy? So the next thing is that he's not sending any symptoms against you to take the health that he gave you. And God the Father is in complete agreement because Jesus and the Father are one and they agree on everything. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. They're in complete agreement. So God is not working against Jesus to give you something to teach you anything. Amen? But here's the kicker. People sometimes get fixated on symptoms and they let their mind run from a symptom to a disease to a debilitating thing, and it goes on and on and on. They sign for the package and then ask for more packages of the same thing. They made a study out of all the things that could go wrong about this symptom. They become experts on whatever type of disease that the doctor told them that they had. Here's a thought. How about if you become an expert on what God has given you? His word is true. He has the truth. I'm not saying that the doctor is a liar. I'm just saying he's looking at the physical, what he's been trained to see, and he's telling you what he sees from the examination of the natural person. Here's a news flash. Spirit realm is where everything originated. The spirit realm trumps the natural realm. The natural realm is temporary. It changes from day to day, from moment to moment. The spirit realm is eternal. God's word in the spirit realm is spirit and it's life. My words are spirit and they are life. Not death, not sickness, not disease, not calamity. Not any of those things. Life. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Health is good. Sickness is bad. Sickness is not from God. So therefore, you don't need to receive it. He gave you His health. You're in the king on the mountain seat. You're the victor, not the victim. Take charge with who you are in Christ Jesus. You have been given authority. Whenever you speak to a situation, you don't have to sit there and tell it 10,000 times and focus on it and take up all your time and quote the scriptures to it. Okay? Did Jesus do that? No. What does the word tell you in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Is that how we go through life successfully? Look at what Jesus has done. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, what does it say there? You're beholding His glory. You're beholding Jesus. You're holding the answer in your attention, not the problem. So we don't want to be experts on the problem. It's like sin. If you're sin conscious, you focus in on the sin. You say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that. I sure do want to, though. And I used to smoke. And I know whenever I said that, it didn't work very good. Whenever I says, I'm not going to smoke, 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 I'm not going to smoke. That's one thing I wanted to do. So being sin conscious is like being sick conscious. Here's a flash. God don't want you to be sick anymore, and He wants you to live a life of debauchery or whatever to ruin yourself, especially since He's already had Jesus take care of both of those things for you. God's not sin conscious. God's not sick conscious. You think about those of you who have children in here. Think about how you feel whenever you have a little one that's not feeling good. Literally, whenever a child is not feeling very good, you would take that sickness into your body rather than have your child go through it. Am I right? Do you think the Father's love for you is any less? That's what He did. Jesus took upon Himself every disease, every sickness, every tumor, every cancer, everything that we as human beings, because of the fall, had turned loose in this earth realm. He took it upon Himself and He defeated it. So therefore we have victory over it today. So you are the healthy. So what about this saying to the mountain, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, tell it to go. Speak to the mountain. Yeah. You say, that's it. Symptoms, whatever they are, go in Jesus' name. And then don't keep looking at your symptoms and watching for them to change. Did you just tell it? Yes. Do you have authority? Yes. Is that God's word? Did He say symptoms cannot live in your body because you're healthy? Yes. You sent forth God's word. God's word takes care of itself. You don't have to look at it. You don't have to baby it. You don't have to pray about it to make sure that word goes forth. It does what it was sent forth to do. Amen? You already have the victory in Christ Jesus. All you're doing is enforcing it. You are the healthy. Symptoms are trying to take your health away from you in this sinful world. You already have the victory in Christ. Immediately turn your attention back to what Christ has done and thank Him that you have been given your health. Thank Him that you don't have to put up with all this junk. Sickness is not for you in your body, nor in your emotions, nor in your mind, nor in anything that you have anything to do with, because you belong to Jesus. You're inhabited by Him, and His Spirit's power enforces that victory in your life. Amen? Truth. That's it. I want to show you something. You notice it's talking about sin, and then it's talking about being healed. Why do you think it's continually done? Let's look in real briefly in Luke 5. And I want you to see how it was approached by Jesus. And in the modern day church today, since we've had a lot of law taught in the church today, Jesus was sitting there with a bunch of Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, lawyers. And He's in a situation where He's teaching, and the house that He was in was completely packed. People in the windows, people in the doors, people in the halls, people stacked up in front of Him, and nobody could get in. And y'all all know the story where this man had four faithful friends, full of faith friends, right? And they came up, they couldn't get Him in, so they went to the roof. They didn't let it discourage them. They took the roof tiles off, they let Him down through the roof right in front of Jesus, in front of all these Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, lawyers. What case did Jesus make whenever this man was lowered down in front of Him? Could not walk. He was paralyzed. What's the first thing Jesus told him? Your sins are forgiven. Now, why would He say that? Because it's true. Okay, if you follow, whenever John the Baptist was baptizing, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Present tense verb in the Greek. There was such a thing called a scapegoat in the Old Covenant. The sins were placed on the head of the scapegoat, and it was allowed out into the wilderness. You see the parallel whenever Jesus was baptized by John for all righteousness' sake. Everybody else got baptized for the remission of sin. Those sins, if you visualize it, were in the water, And when Jesus went in, all the sins attached to him. He took away the sins of the world. So therefore, whenever he could go and say, your sins are forgiven, present tense, or perfect tense, which means something that's already taken place and the effects are lasting thereafter, it's true. So he was carrying the sin of the world whenever he was walking around. It had not been punished yet. He hadn't been to the cross, but he was carrying literally the sins of the world so he could truthfully tell them that your sins are forgiven. I'm bearing them for you. Every one of them. Now, in the Hebrew mindset, go back in your mind to Deuteronomy 28. If you obey, you get the blessings. If you disobey, you get the curses. And for time's sake, look it up and see if it doesn't list a whole bunch of sicknesses that are considered curses for disobedience. The Sadducees and the rest of them are sitting there saying, this man's sick because he sinned. That's what the law says. He got what he deserved. He sinned, he disobeyed, he's sick. He's paralytic. Why did Jesus tell him, your sins are forgiven? He's carrying his sin. If he's carrying his sin, then there's no reason for him to be sick anymore. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Rise up and walk. And he did. Who got glorified then? God or Satan? It said they glorified God. Only God can forgive sins. So he proved everything about himself, but more than that, he took care of the reason why the man would be sick. It's so simple, isn't it? If you look through all the scriptures in the Old Covenant and the New, it mentions sin and sickness together. He forgave their sins, he healed their sickness. In the Psalms, all throughout the New Covenant. What is the message today? Jesus has already forgiven our sins. He's been punished for them. In fact, in two instances over in Hebrews, it says that your sins and iniquities I remember no more. I will remember no more. And then he was quoting the Old Testament whenever he said that. But since Jesus had already been to the cross, your sins and iniquities I don't remember anymore because I remembered them on the body of Jesus at the cross. That's where it all took place. So sin is not an issue for God anymore. They don't need to be an issue for us today because we have been delivered from sin and the power of sin. And also from the consequence of sin. Did you hear what I said? Well, somebody ought to be punished. Yes, Jesus was. That's why we go free today. Because he was punished. That's how good God is to us. Does that mean you ought to go out and just sin, sin, sin because you're not going to receive anything? People that say that don't understand what Christ really did for them. His love makes me want to love him more. I know whenever I was trying to impress my wife, whenever I was dating her, I admit it, I was a scoundrel sometimes. It's the truth. But I wanted to act nice around her so she liked me. It worked. But whenever I fell in love with her and wanted to marry her, I didn't want to do it just for her to like me. It's because I loved her and I wanted to please her. And I didn't want to hurt her in anything. When she was happy, it made me happy. Love is something that is awesome. And whenever you see God's love for you and what he's done for you personally, you know that sin does not have an effect on your life. It doesn't run you anymore. Sickness has no right in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in nothing that's about you. You already have authority over it. Does that mean that you're not going to be tested by symptoms? No. It just means that you've already got the victory, so you're a victor in that situation. You just speak to it. Because he's in you and his power makes it happen. You don't have to make sure you jot every I, cross every T, do everything just right. It has nothing to do with that. It's who you are in Christ Jesus, what He's done for you. From this day forth, I want you to see yourself as the healthy because of what Christ has done for you. If sickness comes against you, symptoms come against you, don't go research it on the internet. There's a name for everything if you want to apply it to it. And there's a symptom for everything. And I know people that go and look for symptoms and they actually, they become hypochondriacs. They think they have everything and they're trying to diagnose themselves all the time. But they become obsessed with symptoms. And what I'm saying is, please understand, Christ is the answer. And you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to understand those big 50-cent words. Jesus, that's simple. Thank you, Jesus. Symptom, go. In Jesus' name. I'm the healthy. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. So I don't receive this. It's not mine. And you can be firm about it. And then put your attention back on the Lord. Well, what if it's pain in me, this, that, and the other? Do you do other things whenever you got something going on? If you're worrying about something, do you go ahead and do your job anyway? Even though you've been thinking about this thing? Yeah. Well, go ahead and do your thing. How many times have you had a headache and you spoke to it and it was still hurting, but you went ahead and you focused on other things and then 15 minutes, 20 minutes later, was there something that I was supposed to think about that I used to have? Oh, I had a headache. Oh, but it's gone. I didn't even know when it left. So put your attention back on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's where it belongs. Your health is a divine right that's given to you by Jesus. You don't have to give it up for anybody or anything or any symptom. It was purchased for you by Jesus. Your forgiveness was purchased by Him. Everything that you have was because of what Jesus has done for you. And it makes Him happy that you draw on everything that He's done for you. Not pick and choose. Well, I'll take a little bit of that, but this is kind of far out there. I don't know if I want to do that tongues thing or not. It's for a purpose. It's not for Him. It's for you. It's to build you up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's to release things in the spirit realm that you don't even have a clue what's going on. You can go on and on and on about tongues. But why wouldn't you want everything that Christ purchased for you to the fullest and enjoy it all and have that abundant life that Jesus has given for you? Amen? So, health is not a big issue, right? We're not going to settle for any less, right? It's your divine right that Jesus has purchased for you.